This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
so could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Hi, everybody. Don't mind me. I'm just sharing the show to various Facebook groups. And, hey, the fact that we didn't politicize this show lasted for a while, but not forever.
It's not like a complete ban on politics.
Right around the time most of the sports crapped out, that's when I started talking politics. And, well, didn't last too long. Hi.
Oh, hi.
How do you like us so far? Rod here, Darren there. It is Canada's daytime sports talk show. Welcome. Boy, do we have a lot of fun topics today. And we've kept it real clean in terms of guests. Yesterday, absolute gong show. Five guests. Like, it was revolving door around here, which was great. Mm-hmm. But today, just two guests. And they are from Saga 960 Radio in Mississauga, the all-news station out there. Mike Richards. And the voice of the Toronto Argonauts, Mike Hogan. And we've got a lot of things to unpack with Hoagie. A lot of you Torontonians and those in the GTA listening area will remember him as the host of The Bullpen on Fan 590. But again, he's the voice of the Argos. Believe he worked for David Brayley. I think his time coincided with David Brayley. And we'll get to some of the CFL talk. But that's it. Not a lot of guests, just a lot of us, you know, BSing, chewing the fat. Which Good. Is what people enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the quick six show topics, Jordan. What do you say? We could spend 2 hours on this. Sports talk is easy, don't you know? Los Angeles Dodgers have won the World Series 3-1 last night in Game 6. And it's like the whole world is talking about the gaffe by Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, for pulling Blake Snell in the sixth inning as he was on a heater. If you really want to know what I think about it, go to rodpeterson.com right now or listen to Cat Country 98 FM because that was my commentary today. But analytics are ruining the game. You all know what happened, right? He pulled Blake Snell because the experts say the analytics would have told him to pull him. He'd given up two hits over 73 pitches. They had a 1-0 lead. They pull him. And Nick Anderson comes in, he gives up one hit, ends up taking the loss. The Dodgers turn it around, win the game, win the COVID Cup, and away we go. And after the game, I didn't really care what the pundits were all saying. I was waiting to see what Kevin Cash said after the game in his news conference, and he said he'd do it again. We'll have to get into this with our guests. He said if the situation presented itself again, he'd do the exact same thing. You said he was telling the truth. I think he was lying. You said this would make a great segment for the face-off, which we'll get to probably next point. He was lying. Two of the most horrible things in sports we saw last night. Analytics making a decision for a manager or coach. And two, lying about it afterwards. Not admitting your error. Because you blew it. You blew it. So even that's more than I had intended to say. Let's go. Point two, how much importance does analytics play in the world of sports? Or how much should it play? It's led to our poll question today. If you fellas wouldn't mind putting it up for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center, are you on team analytics? Last I checked on Twitter, over 70% of respondents said no. Guys, what are they saying on Facebook? Or have you put it up yet? It's... Yeah, 82% saying no. Can I just give you a little example of how we use analytics here? I've been running a website, rodpeterson.com, since 2006, close to 30 million all-time hits. I use analytics, but it doesn't dictate how we do things. I'll just relate it to this show, and then you can talk about hockey analytics, football analytics, baseball. Over the last 6 months, our fastest growing regions for viewership have been what?
Eastern Canada, Ontario, and the United States.
And the United States. Our fastest growing regions for viewership over the last 6 months have been Ontario and the United States. That's cool. Tells me who we're talking to. Hasn't made me change any of what I do. Because it tells me why we changed it from Canada's morning sports talk show to Canada's daytime sports talk show is that half our audience is in Eastern Canada. But I'm still talking about the Canadian Football League. I'm still talking about hockey. NHL, minor pro, junior hockey, curling, NLL. All it does is tell me that there's an appetite in those regions for what we're talking about on this show. You would look at that and say, oh, Ontario really loves the show. We should talk a lot more Leafs. No! They get enough. That's why they're watching this. So we use the analytics as a tool, but it is not. And anybody who's watched this show through 348 episodes will attest, we haven't changed a damn thing since the first.
100%. Well, yeah. Analytics, you know, I'm on team analytics. I am. Because I think they're super valuable. And they don't lie, right? Analytics, it's math. It doesn't lie. But all of the tools, again, everybody has analytics.
Yep.
The math is there. It's not like it's a secret formula that only Einstein can figure out. You know, everybody can do it. Everybody can get these television cameras. Everybody can buy the mics. It's all in how you apply the tools. Analytics is a tool, a phenomenal tool, but it's all in how you apply it. And sometimes it needs to be applied, and sometimes you need to make a human decision. Because the analytics would say that, yeah, he's supposed to come out of the game at a certain time because, you know what, he's going to fall off the map. It's going to happen. It's about buying low and selling high. But it's sometimes there's an anomaly. Like when a guy's on a heater, you got to ride him a little bit.
Can I back up and just say he wasn't going to pitch in Game 7? Do the analytics tell you that? They can't use him in Game 7. So ride the horse until the horse it falls down. I'm sure that's not in your analytics anywhere. By the way, that same problem is then Rob Vanstone writes in. Great points about analytics. Thank you, RV. Guys, put up the comments on the bottom, because I still can't see who's actually writing in myself. If you put it up on the bottom of the screen, then I can. So anyway, analytics dictated what Kevin Cash wanted to do last night. He should be run over with a Zamboni. And in my commentary this morning on Cat Country, if I owned a team and my coach was making decisions on analytics, that's how he was running his bench and running what was going on the ice, the field, I would say, what do I need you for? I can do this myself. Just spit out all the stats for me and I'll do it myself. What do I need you for?
Yeah. The analytics are like an instruction manual. Now, granted, I want to give him his due because, hey, he's clearly been managing based on analytics the whole season. And that's how he runs his organization. It works. They're the best team in baseball, you know, for a long time. They're a great ball club and they don't have a big payroll. So it works. But at some point, I figured we were still on the air, so...
We're still on the air?
Oh, yeah.
We got a full power outage here in the building. Well, the lights went out, and those... You need to restart these TVs? Okay, we'll talk like we're on the radio. It's just you and me. Keep rolling.
But that's... It's so great. But that's one of the things about the analytics. It worked all year. So I want to give me able to take it off cruise control, right?
Our internet connection is down.
And go manual. Internet, so we are on or we're not on?
We're not on.
We're on.
Are we... We are on.
Are we recording anything?
You're still on.
Good. This is going to make a phenomenal segment, by the way. But that's the idea, right? You have to be able to take it off cruise control and actually make a human decision that adjusts for other elements that come into play. You just have to do it. It's tough.
This is the wildest thing ever. So we had a power outage in here. The generators saved us, and we're still on the air on Game Plus, from what I can see. You just can't see yourself on the monitors up there. So moving on to point three. Clearly, we could spend a lot of time talking about analytics, I guess. It really enlivened people here this morning.
Yes.
But point three, David Brayley. I think here. Are you walking in front of the cameras, Clark?
Yeah.
This is just unbelievable. The spit has hit the fan today. Everybody's running around. This is exciting. These are days that make you feel alive.
Oh, yeah. From yesterday to today, you never know what's going to happen next.
Oh, that's what my brother said, the cowboy. I love your show because you just never know what's going to happen, what could break out at any time.
Yeah.
Point three, David Brayley's legacy. Look, we've talked about David Brayley. What?
No. I'm glad you said that because I read the article and I saw the comments. And
was any of this new to you? Look, Stephen Brunt is getting in a lot of trouble for what he said about David Brayley. Like, he doesn't care. People are just slamming him that he came out and said, here's the harsh reality on David Brayley. Yeah, he's owned three teams. He did what was best for David Brayley. He didn't do what was best for the Canadian Football League, and he held the league back. We all knew it. I mean, I retweeted it. I put it on Facebook saying, I didn't want to say it. I knew all these things. Anybody who's worked in the CFL for any significant period of time knows these things about David Brayley. People kind of felt that Brent was dancing on his grave in a way. When is the appropriate time to talk about these things? I don't know. Folks, do you understand there's an undercurrent of what goes on in a league, and then there's what you see in every league. My phone was blowing up on Monday when the news came down that David Brayley had passed away from people saying, how's this going to change things? I'm like, can we give it a day, guys? And then, well, a day had gone by, and then Stephen Brunt really roasted Brayley. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah. And he said he didn't want to 100% vilify him, but he didn't want to 100% make him a hero. And we all probably fall somewhere in the middle, but he's like, it felt like he was tired of everybody celebrating him because he almost just wanted to say, guys, he's a bad guy. He was bad for the league. But I don't know that, you know, he was a bad person. I didn't get to know David Brayley, unfortunately. We know that the CFL is probably not here without him, right? He saved the CFL, spent lots of money in the CFL. But as, you know, Stephen Brunt said in the article, he feels that he also held the league back a little bit.
Well, I can tell you for a fact he's not a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm just checking to see if we're still live. People are continuing to run around here like crazy, like their hair's on fire. We are still on the air. He's not a bad guy, but like a lot of these owners in the Canadian Football League, the reaction to what Brunt said, which incidentally was on Fan 960 in Calgary. What, do they even care?
I guess not. Well, it used to be.
Can you crawl underneath like a mouse?
It used to be like Mission Impossible with the lasers going. You'd wait for one camera to get off you, and you'd sneak into the safe area, and then you'd wait for the other one to move, and then you'd.
Wow, this is so much
fun. Now they just don't care.
I think it's fun.
Trip the wire doesn't matter.
Anyways, I think people were more upset that they didn't know this was going on in the Canadian Football League. Some were mad at me saying, if this was going on, why weren't you telling us, Rod? And my thing was, I didn't want to be the first person to say it. Like, one time's okay.
Now you're abusing it. Because one time you said, that's not a fancy production. Just go in front. You said that once. You gave him some slack. And now it's just getting abused.
Yeah.
It's coming back up.
He doesn't care. On David Brayley's legacy there. We're going to move on. Point four. The SJHL announces its schedule with a catch, with a hitch. I could spend 2 hours on this. This could probably easily be a four-hour show. And this, while it is the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, it's extrapolated to every province across the country that has Junior A teams and even into America. In that, the SJHL announced the schedule on Tuesday, but they didn't say, the pundits are, that they won't play unless crowd sizes are increased past 150 people. And that's literally like putting the pressure on the government and the health officials to say, we're not playing unless you do. I think if you're going to play chicken with the government, I don't think you're going to win. I think they're just putting it out there, as my former news director, Greg Bonnert, used to say, running it up the flagpole and seeing who salutes.
Yeah. You'd be fair in saying that for sure. It's not a battle you want to go into the government because you're not going to win. It's just not going to happen. We know that it was announced when they had the return to play from the government that said, you know, 150 people, you're good, go. However you do 150 people, you're good. Like that's everywhere. And junior hockey's allowed to go up to 50% capacity, but you need to meet all this criteria. Now the league's trying to figure out how each of those venues is going to meet the criteria to get to 50%. And some will be easy, some won't. And I know those teams are going back and forth upset saying, hey, they get 50%, but we can't because we have this building. Like, you got to fix that or we can't play. And that's going to be that's a tough call for Bill Chow in the league when, you know, a number of your teams are going to be able to get to 50% and meet all the criteria and some won't. How do you tell them that they can't bring in 50%, but other communities can, right?
I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know what's going on in the meetings between the league commissioners and the government. In the case of the SJHL, the president, Bill Chow, has been extremely diplomatic in the interviews with us. I can only imagine he's been extremely diplomatic with the government. This is a guy that was a police officer for 30 years prior to his time as president of the league. But what it looks like to me is a game of chicken. The way it's been projected here is that it looks like a game of chicken to the government.
Yeah.
So we've been live on Game Plus, but we weren't live on Facebook. Is that what we're saying? Okay. Point five is an easy one and a quick one. I got a lot of reading to do over the next few months, and it makes me very happy. I think I've been diagnosed as an extroverted introvert in that I like being at home. I can be around people and hold my own, but if all things were equal, I would like to be at home reading a book. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't believe that. But now I got Duffy's book, Kiprios's book, Ken Reed's book to read, and I just started Howard Stern's latest book.
Wow. Do you read fast?
Pretty fast, yeah.
Okay. Takes me a while to get through, but I get so into books. I don't read as much as I'd like, but I get so into them that I always, like, I'll read something and then I'll just read it again.
Oh, because you were daydreaming.
Kind of daydreaming because I start reading it and I start thinking about it. And so it takes me a while to get through a book, but I really enjoy that. I enjoy daydreaming through a book and getting lost in it, right? But I can't get through them very fast.
Getting caught up here. Viewer just wrote it and said, can you repeat everything the Game Plus audience saw? Because not everybody has Game Plus. I would appreciate that, please, and thank you. I don't know who said that. Go get Game Plus. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Do we need to go back to where we started this way back like a year and a half ago? In that, it's like when Howard Stern went to satellite radio. I was standing at the place, the trucker store, beating on the door at Peterbilt to buy the satellite radio. I got it because I wanted it.
Yeah.
Go get Game Plus. So anyways, the points were one, Dodgers winning the World Series. Two, how much importance do analytics have in the world? Point three, David Braley's legacy. That's what you missed. And by the way, Game Plus will be replaying at 4 p.m. Eastern. Point four, the SJHL announces its schedule, as we just said, with a hitch. They're not going to play unless they can have crowds of more than 150 people. Point five, I got a lot of reading to do. And point six, week eight, NFL notes. And we could have a lot of fun with that. Antonio Brown signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. While he won't play, he continues to serve a suspension. It's an interesting story that we have spent no time on. Yep. It's already Wednesday, and it came out over the weekend. Don't know who the viewer is, but says Howard Stern is not relevant anymore. He lost his way when he fired Artie Lang and became like the celebrities he used to mock. You bite your tongue. I listen to the king of all media every day. You don't have to. I will. So are we going to take a break, or what am I doing here?
Yeah, I would think
so. Can you just mention to everyone that we are going to do a system reset, but we'll stay on the air? What do you want me to do? I've lost connection with Earth.
We got to go to break.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, I think, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, thank you for sticking with us, everybody. We are back. Major power outages across the province is what I've been told here. But we're back, and we're live, and thank you. And I believe we're live on Game Plus as well. Let's go out on video chat right now. Mike Richards joining us from Saga 960, Mississauga All Talk Radio. Hey, there he is, Mike. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing, you know what? I feel kind of good today, which is rare. Normally I'm kind of pissy, but I'm good for all the wrong reasons, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please do.
Because it was a bad night for the nerds last night, for all the mathematicians, for all the analytics guys. That was a bad night. Ha ha. Here's the thing. Analytics. It's been around for a long time. It's just had different descriptions. It's gone under different names over the years. I mean, I think when Tom Landry started talking about computerized and the computer into football plays, I mean, no one liked it. Number one, because anyone who liked sports was not going to be on the computer side of the world. Let's put it that way. Gates was never a defensive back, not that I know. But here's the thing. Roger Nilsson, Captain Video, it's been around for a long time. But here, analytics are a tool, a tool that will tell you trends. It's a tool that will tell you in given situations, there might be a chance based on these numbers that something's going to happen. But then you take that information and you combine it with the mind of the guy that you just paid a lot of money to either coach or manage your game. But this is a world now, Rod, that wants to be smarter than everybody else. They want to prove that they've got the edge on everyone else, and they don't want to work at it. That's our world. And now it's seeped into sports. So last night, there's Kevin Cash, and he's like, okay, so now the nerds have told me at this point, this is when I pull Blake Snell. That wasn't a very good call, was it? And we've seen it. Now, this is just one. It's a massive one because it cost them a world championship. But analytics aren't supposed to be where I'm the manager. Maybe I'm there. Maybe I'm not. You're the owner of the team. You go, Mike, remember that thing? Oh, yeah. Meep. I'm going to take out Connor McDavid. He has to come out now because, see, these numbers tell me that when you get in the third period and you play on a Thursday night, see, that's the kind of crap that has ruined sports. And last night, it ruined the chances of Tampa winning a championship. It is Cash's fault. There's no gray area. He admitted it after the game. If you're Blake Snell, he's cruising through, what, 5 2/3 or whatever it was at the time, and you pulled him because you wanted to go to analytics. What a terrible decision. It's his fault, and I hope it's a little bit, as they like to call it, a coachable moment, a learning moment, where we take what can be a tool and a tool alone and not replace it for that is a game time decision, because we're humans. Humans make mistakes.
Yeah, Mike, it doesn't get much bigger than game 6 of the World Series. Overall, I think it's fireable, to be honest with you, what happened last night. And secondly, I think we're all in agreement on what you're saying there, but Darren, my co-host, he and I are disagreeing on this. Kevin Cash came out after the game and said if he had to do it all over again, he'd do it again. Darren thinks he's telling the truth. I think he's lying and won't admit a mistake. Where are you on that?
Yeah. If he came out and said that he'd do it again, then you're a moron. Then I'm taking a look at the other guys in the office and going, did he just, he said he'd lose again? Is that our guy? How long's the contract? Like, I just honestly, I wouldn't understand why you would sit there and go, you know what? If I threw that interception, yeah, but I really like the play. I think I'm going to go with it again. No, you're not, because you're not on the team anymore. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. It's how do you defend that? Like it's what, indefensible? Is that the word?
Indefensible.
I think it's undefendable. I don't know.
Indefensible. Yeah. But Cash said he regrets it because it didn't work. I.e., if Nick Anderson balls out, then we're not talking about it. But the point is, as I said, Mike, come on, I'm not a baseball guy, but I know you're not going to use Blake Snell in a game 7. So ride the horse until the wheels fall off. If that is a thing. That's what I don't get. If this seems far too oversimplified, he's got to be smarter than this.
Yeah, and I think that anyone that takes a look at sport and thinks that on any given night that the numbers in a computer printout or whatever you want to call it is better than the guy that's behind the bench or on the pitch or on the sidelines, then I don't think you got a very good coach. And if that's how you want to do it, then what's the point of hiring a guy anyway? Because it's about game time management when it comes to the game, which means it's an eye test. It's me understanding and reading my player, who I've coached with, I've sat with, I've traveled with. I mean, these guys are close. You've seen every tendency that you should know. I don't need to go to Google to tell me whether the guy I have on the face-off is the right guy. Let's say all the numbers. Say that, on the right side of the hash marks, this is when he's the best, or on the left side, or when it's four against... all of that. Like I said, it's a great tool. It's a great tool, Rod. But if that replaces my ability for my coach to recognize when he's having an off night, because that's what happens to humans. Otherwise, if this didn't happen, it was only analytics. Oh my God. Can you imagine how good our gambling record would be? Like we'd be the best guys. We'd never lose because we're just going to go by these numbers. The numbers are always right, which means we'd be 100% in all our parlays, which clearly I am not.
From my brother, who is an actual riding the range cowboy, Mike. They still exist. He just texted me. Richards is one of your best guests always. True beauty, straight old school. That's from my brother who's listening right now. Thank God for my family. I have nobody watching. But so I want to parlay this a little bit. One of our viewers, I don't know who it is anonymous, says, can we get to the important topic, please? Are the Leafs ads enough to change the culture into a real winner? I'm not going to ask you that.
No.
But here's the fight that producer Clark and I kind of got. Like, I think it was a fight this morning escalating. And Kyle Dubas seems to me like he's running his team off a laptop. He's making analytics make his decisions as running the team. Clark says he doesn't. Clark says Dubas is using them as a tool and he's making the final decisions. And I said, then he's doing a crappy job of it then. Can you answer that? Settle the tie. Is Dubas letting analytics run the Leafs?
Well, he has up to now. He's absolutely gone into his briefcase, which means recess must have been very awful for him. And I'm saying that up till now, he has decided that based on those analytics, whatever he saw was the winning formula, and he was going to stick with it. Now, of course, trying to reinvent the wheel and try to go against the grain of what we know which wins. And I believe it was on the show. Did I not say Tampa Bay was going to win the Stanley Cup?
Yep,
pretty sure that was me. And what they have, because they're not going to lose that much going forward. So here's the bad news for Leaf fans: as excited as they're going to get by some additions that more lean to the side of what they need, is it closer to what they have to do? Yeah, it is closer. But you know, Spets is still there, and bring in Simmons, which is fine to a degree, but. But Jumbo is going to be good in the dressing room. Okay, that's great. But those the first two lines, the way that you play hockey, you're telling me, and I saw Shanahan, I saw Dubas in one of their press conference saying, we're going to be a tougher team to play. Okay. So who all of a sudden is going to start grinding it out? Marner? Nylander is all of a sudden these guys. It'd be all of a sudden like Ponce became the Fonz. I got news for you. That never happened. And it wouldn't happen. Ponce could never be the Fonz. And those guys are never going to be the guys that you're afraid to play. I don't know how Shanahan, who was a grinder, who was an in-your-face kind of guy, how he can say that publicly while we're looking at him going, no, you're not. You're not going to be any of that. And guess what? If you take a look at the East, tell me who they're jumping over, because I can tell you who's jumping over them. That's the Montreal Canadiens. The Montreal Canadiens got a lot better in that offseason. You saw what they put together without some of those players in the weird summer bubble hub tournament. And now they've got much better. They still got one of the best goalies in the world. I got news for you. Montreal's jumping them. Montreal's jumping them. You still got Washington, still got Boston, and obviously you still got Tampa Bay. So as much as I see philosophically they changed to go closer to what they need, like if you really want to make a jump, then you got to do what Masai Ujiri did a couple of years ago, and you got to give up whoever you think that big name was at the time was DeMar DeRozan. Got to get a little lucky, which they did, and Kawhi shows up, you win a championship. But it's the old, it takes some to get some, and you have to overspend. This is professional sports now. There's no deals. You're not really putting one on over on anybody. You're like, wow, can you believe how badly they won that deal? No, you're probably going to have to give up something that you prize, because that's what someone else does. They're not stupid anymore. I mean, there were bad trades in the day. That just doesn't happen anymore. So if you want someone who's going to make a difference, I don't know who that was. I love Jumbo, but a good dressing room guy. Well, if you were closer, because that's what I think was funny. Did you see when he said, I talked to Joe Montana. Was it Joe Montana? And said, I'm thinking of going to Toronto because I need to win a championship. Joe's even aware of who the Toronto Maple Leafs are. But wouldn't he say something like, okay, but they're not going to win next year, so I don't know why you're going there. I mean, I really don't know why that was a thing. Why would you call him?
I'm between two Leafs fans. Darren's here. Clark's on the other side of this wall, and they won't listen to it. I feel like you won't listen to what the man saying.
Well, no, you're making a lot of sense, Mike, making a real lot of sense. And what I kind of get out of that is, sure, you're bringing in these guys. You have a little more grit stuff. But those top two lines are still playing 40 to 50 minutes a night.
So can't be that much. Well, nobody plays that much.
If you're playing 20 minutes, right? You got two lines, each playing 20 minutes.
Combined.
No, separately, they're playing 20 minutes, right?
Okay,
Marner will play 20 minutes, Tavares will play. So that together, those two lines, one of them's on the ice for 40 or 50 minutes of the
game.
That's
wrong, too.
Right? So for 40 or 50 minutes of the game, you're still playing the exact same hockey. It's still the same thing. Nothing's been changed. Yes. Unless those guys are going to start grinding, right? You've only really improved the 10 to 20 to 25 minutes of the game that the other guys will be on the ice.
Anyways. Like, tell me how many times you've seen hockey player of a certain skill set, and then all of a sudden, instead of being a track meet guy, he becomes Ty Domi? It's, you know, you want a guy. So if you want to find a Jerome McGinley kind of guy who, you know, when he wanted to, I mean, he's going to drop the gloves. He would do a lot of things that you probably didn't want your captain to do, but that's what he did. I mean, and I don't see all those guys. I see none of them on that Leaf roster. And if you're a Leaf fan, I'm sitting there, probably just screaming, till my face is blue. When are you going to understand that what you have done in measurement to the other guys, you know, I use that car analogy. Do you think your automobile has changed, that your model now looks like the one that Tampa has? Okay, well, then you also need to go to Hakeem Optical because your eyes are bad because you don't.
I don't know what we've started here. Chris from Brampton has written in and said, are the Leafs finished adding / changing the roster? I said in the warm-up, we're going to not get to talk Leafs. And it's turned into a Leafs discussion. So listen, we only got 60 seconds left, Mike. David Braley.
Oh, my God.
David Braley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was really hard. You know, I was around that team, that is Hamilton, quite a bit. And he's, you know, a Hamilton guy. He even has a haircut that every Ticat had, like in about 1972. If you go back to 71, 72, he looked like he could have been on that roster. He was literally, and if people aren't aware of this, he literally was an angel to that entire league. There was a time where I'm sure he owned at least two teams at the same time. I don't know if it was more. He lived his whole life because he was such a devoted fan. He loved the league, and he devoted every almost dollar that he had into trying to save the league, which he did. Without David Braley, I doubt Hamilton gets by. I don't think billionaire Bob even gets to this point. I don't think they do. And the fact that he went out to BC, again, another not easy market to sell professional football. They've gone through their times, and passing away. I was, he passed young. He took on a lot of pressure in his lifetime, but you cannot deny the heart that man had. I don't know what the Hall of Fame, I don't know. Is he in it? I don't know if he isn't, he should be, because he was an angel to the league. And you don't get a lot of those guys anymore. In fact, I don't think you're going to see a lot of David Braley's that will grace the offices of any CFL team ever again. He was one of a kind, and a real shame upon his passing.
Well, the question is, what's the CFL when it comes back? Because it's in enormous peril now. Mike, thanks. I appreciate your time, as always. Appreciate you fitting us in, bro.
Thanks, boys. Go Riders.
Yeah, there you go. Gotcha. Mike Richards joining us from the Saga. Question just came in. Who's the front runner to be the new owner of the Lions now? Hang on. I want to unpack all of that stuff. It has been a freaking blur in here today. We'll slow it down when we come back. It's worked out well with just Mike Richards and just Mike Hogan. We can get to all these things because there's a lot to get to, right?
Oh, yeah. And we went that whole thing without talking about Bobby Boucher on his shirt there. Did you see
I didn't
that?
Even know. I didn't see it. We'll be back. It's the RP Show. Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/ The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Thanks for joining us for coffee every day, especially today, everybody. Caliber Coffee.
Need a little extra today.
It's still a great show.
What do they say in Western Canada? You got a burr in your saddle.
Who, me? No. Everybody's running around apologizing. I'm like, we had a power outage. What are you guys apologizing for? Unless you caused the power outage, which I don't think they did. It's all good. I told you in the break, I'm watching the Vegas Raiders-Tampa Bay Buccaneers game on Sunday, and they had transmission difficulties out of Death Star.
They did out of
it happens.
In the Tennessee Steelers game. Two undefeated teams, and they had to cut back to the panel.
Right. So it happens.
Yeah.
So breaking news today as we go to a sports update. The National Lacrosse League, the longest and running most successful professional lacrosse league in the world, today announced that the league is targeting to start their 35th season the weekend of April 9th to the 11th. The focus of the league and NLL teams is to work with health authorities and local jurisdictions, develop health and safety protocols for the players and fans at their games. Under the current plan, teams would report to individual training camps, some virtual, some in person, under strict guidelines in mid-March, with all teams beginning play in April. The league is in the process of continuing to build out several scenarios which factor in current and longer-term restrictions in municipalities in both the United States and Canada. So Clark is working on the commissioner of the NLL, Nick Sakevich, to come on the program and discuss that a little more. The LA Dodgers are World Series champions for the first time in 32 years. Corey Seager was named MVP, and the Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1, ending their championship drought. Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner was removed in the eighth after testing positive for COVID-19. Commissioner Rob Manfred said the team learned about the test during the game. He appeared to return to the field to celebrate postgame. People were asking our thoughts on that. I've seen tweets with people saying, oh, you guys are all to blame. It's such a mess. This mess is on your hands. What mess? What mess? Meanwhile, Rays manager Kevin Cash says he regrets his pitching decisions in Game 6 of the World Series because it didn't work out. You get that, right? That's like the Seahawks and Patriots at the end of the Super Bowl. I regret it because it didn't work.
I know.
So, but not saying that he made a mistake.
Accountability.
Yeah. NASCAR will make a fourth attempt to compete its playoff race at Texas Motor Speedway today. After persistent mist and cold temperatures continued the long delay, the race began Sunday, and drivers completed 52 of the scheduled 334 laps before drizzle halted the action. The weather did not relent on Monday or Tuesday. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Now booking your company Christmas parties. We can handle your food and fun needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com. And if I may, tremendous team-building activities there, too, for both teams and corporations. Ballers is just the best. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. There's a lot of topics on the table today, and another one is the Arizona Coyotes are under fire for drafting the kid from UND, Matthew Miller. Are you watching this? You must be. He bullied significantly a black disabled child in their hometown of Ohio, to the point that charges were brought against Matthew Miller, and the Arizona Coyotes drafted him. SportsCenter's going deep on this, i.e. watching insider trading last night.
Yeah.
And they said at least a third of NHL teams, maybe more, knew about this. That scouts are going to undercover every single part of your history.
No secrets.
And at least a third of the teams wanted no part of Matthew Miller. The Coyotes draft the kid, and their owner, Gutierrez, is on this newly created panel for anti-racism and harassment and bullying, and then his team goes and drafts this. Here's my take. I think he was brought up on charges when he was 14. As a guy who's been the benefactor of second chances, third and fourth, I'm saying let the kid have an opportunity to play. But this is how I would handle it if I was the Arizona Coyotes, because you see, the mother of the bullied kid came out and said, he's never apologized to my son. Think about that for a second. How remorseful is he? So, bring in a psychologist, bring in a recovery coach like myself. If you're the Coyotes, I'd like a couple minutes in the room with Matthew Miller. And I would very simply say, why haven't you apologized to the kid yet? Why haven't you? Explain yourself. Because I'm a parent, you're not. You learn a lot of things, right? Young boys who hit young girls, where do you think they learned that? They saw it at home in a lot of cases. Maybe this kid was the product of a horrible upbringing himself. Give him the opportunity to be rehabilitated. That's my take. If he's not remorseful and if he's not going to go apologize, I could tell within 60 seconds whether this kid is worth putting the work into to continue with my NHL hockey team. I'm just saying I'm a believer in second chances. I didn't even have that in my show topics today. And I wanted to talk about Brayley here, but there's so much going on.
If you're sitting there and people are, you know, whether it's racism, whether it's, you know, somebody who's trying to overthrow, take your throne, right? And you and doesn't agree with you or hasn't conformed or grown into your way of thinking, you just keep eliminating them, they're going to keep coming. And you can keep eliminating them. They're going to keep coming until eventually you don't have the energy to eliminate them and they're going to overtake your throne, right? You need to educate them so they can be on your side. We need people to grow and people to change. And I think if we just keep eliminating without educating, without allowing people to grow and change, we're going to have a problem for a lot longer. I think we need to be compassionate and empathetic, not to this kid and just let him off the hook, but he needs to be. People need to be given an opportunity to grow and change. And if he can change, then maybe the whole culture of racism and negative, you know, attacking behavior can change, right? We need people to grow.
Clark has pointed out Mitchell Miller. I got the kid's name wrong. Whatever. Mitchell Miller. Thank you for clarifying that. I think I said Matthew Miller. The point is the same. I'm a believer in second chances. Maybe he's the product of terrible parenting. I would give him the second chance, but I think you could tell pretty quick if you get one-on-one in a room whether he's even interested in changing or not. That's the rub. Mm-hmm. I do want to talk about Braley, and I'm going to do that next. Unfortunately, I can't see who's writing in. I can see the comments. I still can't see their names. What a, just a butcher hatchet job it's been technically in the last couple days through no fault of you guys, technical gremlins, as we pointed out earlier. But I'm assuming this is Edmonton's Mandy saying only a true fan like Braley. What an untimely time for the team, for the owner to pass. We got to get into the Braley business. Okay, let's do it next. Plus viewer takeover. It's the RP show you're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
It is. Welcome back, everybody.
Having a day.
We are having a day! From anonymous texter from the 535 writing in on the Prairie Mobile text line. Hey, guys, your feed on Game TV went out partway through the show, and now they're showing a rock climbing show. You got that? We know. Can I say this? I got my my nephew a video from Cody Fajardo on Cameo. It came through. Do you want to see it?
I saw it.
Forget about the TV and the radio. My young nieces and nephews see me as an Instagram star. So cool! Because guess what? They're not listening to the radio.
That's right.
I just want to put that out there. I'm a little upset because we were having a fantastic warm up to the point that Rob Vanstone wrote in and said he loved it. And if we can get the stamp of approval from the esteemed Rob Vanstone, I'm down with that. And then boop, the power goes out.
Oh yeah.
We were right in the middle of a fantastic face off. Got that, boys? For the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw, for the best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery, head to themadgreekeatery.com. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by fans for the sports fans in southern Saskatchewan. We were debating analytics, right? Was that not what it was? And the Leafs, what are you laughing at?
Clark came out here because we just like that's how organic and authentic this show is, and I love it. But Clark came out here and is like, can you guys do a real face off? Like, can you guys read the line, get into the face off, read the line? Because every day you get into it, but that was great. That was the face off. And then we read it after the fact.
I like it better this way.
And then it happened again today, but it works. It's organic.
I like it better this way. People would sniff it out if it was fake and contrived.
Yes.
For the CFL fans that are watching, I'm going to give you a disclaimer, and that is we're going to have to carry this over into hour two because the couple of minutes that we have left here isn't going to give us enough time to get into the David Braley thing. Chris in Brampton, Ontario, with the state of the Lions ownership hanging in the balance, has the local sports conglomerate, i.e. Canucks, surfaced as a possible replacement for Mr. Braley? Hang on, Chris. I'm going to get to all of this. Mandy in Edmonton seems quite upset that we never told everybody what we knew about David Braley's ownership for decades in the Canadian Football League. What do you want me to say? Like, has there been anybody, really, that's been harder than CFL owners in the last 8 months than me? Has there been anybody? And even I didn't say that. Anybody who's worked in the Canadian Football League knew everything that Stephen Brunt has said, but I didn't want to say it, particularly 24 hours after he passed away. As I was saying earlier, there's an undercurrent of what goes on in the CFL that I don't even think the owners, presidents, and governors even know that we all talk. I don't think they know. For instance, I'm going to get into the Braley stuff, but everywhere we went on the road with the Rough Riders for 20 years, I'd go into the press box in Montreal. I'd go into the locker room in BC, and I would be talking to staff from all those teams. When I left the Riders, I just assumed it would go away. I'm moving on, they're moving on. But what changed, and you know it because you were right beside me, is they just started calling me. I didn't see them face-to-face, but then they were texting and calling me. And over the last 8 months, I've talked to reps from every single team, and I talked to them almost daily. And the staff in Vancouver was very frustrated with the budget restraints from Mr. Braley. He was not, from what I could tell, a spend-money-to-make-money kind of guy. And if the team won under his watch, it was more so a minor miracle because he did employ good people. But those stories in Toronto, ask Ricky Ray sometime. He kind of hinted on that last week about just how chintzy it was. He didn't even feel like a pro player with the Argos because Braley pinched every dime. So there's that. And Brunt said it. Braley did what was best for himself, not what was best for the Canadian Football League. It was disguised as that. And I still think the owners and presidents are doing what's best for themselves. We'll continue the next hour. Are you peaked?
I'm peaked.
Mike Hogan of the Argos will be with us. Thanks to Mike Richards. See you at 10 a.m. if you're not joining us tomorrow on Game. Truth's in the coffee. It's Truth Serum.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.